Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Hello, I'm Brian Cox.
I'm Robin Ince. The Infinite Monkey Cage is back and we are starting the series with a whole show about trees with Dame Judi Dench. What else we got, Brian?
We're going to do What a Gas with Mark Miodovnik. Unexpected Science History with Rufus Hound. I don't know what he knows about unexpected science history.
Well, that's unexpected thing. He hasn't got a clue.
No, I'm hoping we're having some experts on there. Exploring with Annika Rice.
No, that's just one of your dreams. The other night I dreamt I was exploring with Annika Rice. And also Alien Life in Glastonbury with Chris Lintott.
Yeah.
Infinite Monkey Cage.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm entering a Brazilian prison. We've just gone through a small black door to come out the other side of looming walls topped with barbed wire. The door locks behind us. As we hand in our phones and passports, I hold my breath. Inside is the person we've been investigating for the last 9 months. Kat Torres.
Before, I'll describe myself as a model, as a guru, as a spiritual person or something like that. Now I describe myself as a prisoner.
If you'd seen her life just a few years ago, you wouldn't believe that this is where she'd end up. I'm Hannah Price, and this is Instagram's fake guru for the documentary from the BBC World Service. Anna was in her early 20s when she came across the Instagram account of Kat Torres. She was immediately drawn in.
I liked everything that she was posting. I used to read all the texts that she had. Her page was mainly of like pictures and long texts. She seemed happy. She seemed healthy. She seemed like she was in a stable relationship. She seemed happy with her career. Like she was happy in all areas. It seemed like all boxes in life she ticked.
Kat Torres had grown up in a poor neighbourhood of Belém in northern Brazil. She started modelling as a teenager and entered beauty pageants. It wasn't long before her modelling career took off and she moved to the United States. Soon she was travelling the world and partying with celebrities like Leonardo DiCaprio. She posted her jet-setting life on Instagram, quickly gaining more than a million followers.
I'm here in my bathroom to tell you how I take care of my skin. A lot of people are asking, and I've never talked about it on Instagram with you.
Then she rebranded herself as a wellness influencer and life coach to women like Anna.
When I found Kat, I was just in rock bottom point in my life. I had gone out of an abusive relationship. I had a difficult childhood. I suffered a lot of violence. I had a lot of questions about my family. And what kind of brought my attention was mainly at the time was kind of going to like a spiritual journey. I thought maybe my answers should be pursuing God, pursuing spirituality. And she was the first person that I saw that was talking about spirituality without having a religious background. And it just, I found it interesting.
This is the first time Anna has opened up about what happened with Kat. After months of chatting, she agreed to meet me in New York after consulting with her psychologist.
I was having health issues. I had gone to conventional therapy. I had gone to many doctors. I was losing weight. I was really sick, and I just felt like nothing was working. I just was in a point that I had lost hope in life. And to me, like, just came to my mind, like, all these people say that they can find God and God can heal you. And so that was kind of like my last shot. I was like, let me see if God is real. Let me see if I can find a spiritual answer. Because to me, that was kind of like last strike. I didn't know what else to do. Then I kind of started to turn to the spiritual world.
Take a sip.
Yeah. No, I just got emotional talking about
it. No, it's okay. You're doing really well. Did you find her inspirational? What did you kind of see her as? Was she like an idol? How did you kind of look at her before you got to know her?
So when I came across Kat, she kind of resembled Hope for me. She seemed like she had overcome difficult childhood, violence, abuse, many of the things I related to it. So I feel like that kind of brought me closer to her and think that like she would perhaps understand me or helped me get through what I needed to get through, because from her story, it seems like she was able to overcome all obstacles she had in life. And that's what exactly what I was trying to do. She was able to heal health issues. She was able to overcome abusive relationships. She was able to have success in her career because she kind of turned to a spiritual path.
Kat promised her clients love, money, and self-esteem, posting videos like this one in Portuguese.
Oi, gente, tudo bem? Namaste.
Hi guys, all right, namaste. So get up, get out of your bed. Your life and success are waiting for you. Your dreams are just around the corner. In today's video, I'll show you a technique I use since I was a little child, since I was 15.
Anna says that part of what made Kat so convincing was her published book. In it, she claims she had what she calls the voice, the ability to make revelations and predictions. Anna signed up for private online coaching sessions with Kat, and after just a few months, Kat invited her to come and live with her. She wanted her to work as her assistant.
It kind of made me feel seen. It kind of made me see like, oh, she sees my qualities, she recognizes things in me. And at the time, like, I had no self-esteem, no sense of worth. So to see someone giving a compliment about an internal thing of you, that to me felt really good. I was in a really vulnerable situation. I was living in the US by myself. I was not in a relationship, and she knew that.
So Anna decided to take up the offer.
My first impression of Kat was kind of confusing, because I was used to seeing her in this perfect Instagram feed, always looking her best, always saying the most beautiful things you can think of. And then when I got to her house, it was shocking, because the house was really messy, really dirty, didn't smell good. Another thing that shocked me about Kat was the fact that she wouldn't be able to do minimal things by herself. Like if she was going to shower, I had to be talking to her the whole time, because she cannot stand to be in silence just taking a shower. I literally had to do like micro daily activities with her, like tell her brush your teeth, brush your hair, because it seems like, I don't know if she would forget or not mind for these things, but it was like kind of like taking care of a baby.
And how demanding was it in terms of your time? Like, what sort of hours were you working?
So Kat has always been really demanding. So you have to be ready to see what does she need. So if she decides to have 10 consultations in a row, I had to be there. So I always had to be around her. She wouldn't let me like go do my own thing, because I always had to be available for her. As time went on, things just got worse and worse. She wouldn't let me sleep. She doesn't stop talking. All lights in the house need to be on, because she cannot stand to be in the dark. So the lights have to be turned on 24/7. I was sleeping in the couch where the animals were all over. She had a wild cat that would piss everywhere and had a really strong urine scent that no matter how much I cleaned the house, you could never get rid of the smell. So I had to keep cleaning the couch every night so I could sleep. And the only times I was able to sleep for a few hours in a row is if she was out with one of her boyfriends. And then when she came home, whether it was at 2, 3 a.m., then I had to wake up. I had to keep talking to her. All lights were back on. And sometimes she'll start playing music loud if I wasn't so responsive, because I was tired. So she always had to make sure that the environment had a lot of noise. And it was exhausting. Like some days I was so exhausted in the middle of the day that I would tell her, like, I'm going to go work out in the gym's building, but I will go down to sleep in the yoga mat, just so she wouldn't come after me.
Anna says she was never paid by Kat. When she confronted her, Anna says Kat became aggressive, triggering her painful history with domestic violence.
Now I see that she was using me as a slave, as a servant. And she even said this in an Instagram post that she did, threatening me. It's exactly what she wanted. She wanted to see me doing everything that she wanted, not pay me. And I see that she had satisfaction in it. I think I was probably one of the first victims of human trafficking.
After 3 months, Anna finally found a way to leave. But it wasn't the last time she would hear from Kat. This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
the $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. All episodes are available now. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Price with Instagram's Fake Guru. In 2022, Kat moved to Texas with her new husband, renting a 5-bedroom suburban mansion. By now, she was charging several hundred dollars for her online coaching sessions. She then started trying to get her most loyal clients to move in with her, posting on social media that she was building a witch clan.
I want you all to be millionaires, period. But selling online courses wasn't working anymore. People have already prepared themselves energetically. Now they can come to my house and I'll show them what it's like to have money. I want everyone here working with me. I'm bringing Brazilians here.
Sol saw the post. She is from Brazil but was living in Boston at the time.
Okay, got.
Yeah, that comes through. Okay, great. So, yeah.
Sol isn't her real name. She's afraid of the online abuse that might come from publicly speaking out.
So in my mind, this is the opportunity. Someone who is Brazilian, who is in here, who has some success. I'm struggling. During COVID, I had to live in a shelter for a while. I had to live in the streets for a while. So it was like, I don't want to go through this again. So I get on the DM of Instagram and I told her my story. I sent an audio, was crying a lot. I was desperate. And I said, I'm a yoga teacher. I do tarot readings. I know she's into this spiritual stuff. And I said, I can do this for you. And the next day, she sent me $500 on my PayPal. And she said, I want you to buy the tickets. I get in the plane straight for that, like backpack, just the things that I had with me.
Sol moved in with Kat, or Katushia, as she calls her. Instead of working for Kat's wellness empire, she says she was forced to do long days of domestic work with no breaks or pay. In the house, there were also two young Brazilian women.
One day, Katusha went to the room with this girl with crystals and tarot cards and candles. I think she's doing, you know, some witchcraft, whatever she's doing in there, not my business. And the same afternoon, I was coming upstairs and the girl looked at me in the eyes and said, I want you to drive me to a strip club because it's in there that I'm going to find my husband. Katusha told me the voice in her head is saying that I have to go to this place because it's in there that I'm going to find my husband.
The woman she was talking to was Desiree. She's written a book about her experience called At Searching Desiree. Her words have been translated from Portuguese and are being read by an actor.
When I arrived, Kat took me to see the witchcraft room. She had set up a large altar with candles and religious images. She prayed to the angels, asking for protection, health, and prosperity for all of us.
Desiree says Kat convinced her to work in a strip club.
At the end of the day, I saw that I had earned $700 in fees. Kat counted the money and proposed she manage it herself, keeping everything in the safe in her room. She also insisted that my passport always stayed at home, so that I wouldn't run the risk of someone from the club discovering my identity. In 2 weeks, I had made about $9,000 at the club, but Kat demanded that I try to make at least $1,000 a day. I tried to talk to Kat again so we could put the club aside and focus on her coaching company. I was exhausted, physically and psychologically, and I was still at risk because I was illegal. Kat went on to say, "Do you realize how much witchcraft I did to get you accepted into the club without a visa? Do you think it was easy? You say you have faith, but you don't trust God and the angels protecting you."
Desiree writes of how Kat repeatedly threatened her, and eventually, scared and lost, she gave in to Kat's demand that she work as a prostitute.
Kat said, "You know, you don't have to keep working at the club if you start to feel bad. Hang out with the guys. I'm sure that several men you've met have approached you asking how much it would cost for time with you. Think about it. What you can make in 15 hours at the club, you can make in 1 hour with a man."
Kat said if Desiree didn't prostitute herself, she would be punished or cursed.
On the way to meet the client, my legs wouldn't stop shaking. When I opened the bedroom door, many questions haunted me. Could I stop whenever I wanted? If the condom broke, would I get a disease? Could he be an undercover cop and arrest me? What if he killed me? It was a long 16 minutes. Crying, I got out of the shower and got ready to leave. I got into the taxi, heading to the strip club. When I returned home that night, I had nightmares.
Kat set a daily amount she had to earn and kept all the money. If she didn't reach it, she wasn't allowed to come home. There were times she slept on the streets. The women say that in the house, Kat introduced a law of silence. They were forbidden from communicating with each other and they needed her permission for everything.
A gente trabalha aqui 24 horas do dia e tem que trabalhar mesmo.
We work here 24 hours a day and we have to work hard. You have to wake up at 5 a.m. and go to bed at 2 a.m. and that's how it is for everyone in the house. So if you think you're going to come here and it's going to be easy, dear ones, sentimentalism is over.
We're never allowed to leave the house. It was very difficult to, you know, get out of the situation because she hold your money, she hold all your informations.
It was overhearing a disturbing phone call that finally pushed Sol to try to leave.
I heard her on the phone with the girl who is in Brazil. She was saying, you even been punished by the voice to be a prostitute in Brazil. I said, okay, I need to get out of here.
With the help of a former boyfriend, Sol managed to escape and return to Boston. But she says she still feared Kat.
Her husband at the time, Zach, had at the house, I think it's Texas, right? So about 6 guns. So it was terrifying something could happen to me because she had my address and all my information, my passport. She took a picture of my passport, took a picture of my driver's license.
Months later, Kat got evicted from the house in Texas. Their belongings that they left inside were dumped on the driveway.
Here are the voodoo dolls. There's, it appears to be two women, one man. They have little X's for eyes and frowny faces. So I'm guessing it's not a good thing.
One of the neighbors shows me the stuff they found.
My name is Wayne Murray, and I was the neighbor. The trafficker lived across the street. They had dried herbs. They had labels and things that tell you what they're good for. They're good for romance. They're good for this. They're good for exorcisms. So that was a little unusual. We'd never talked to them. They weren't very friendly. If I would drive around the little cul-de-sac here, I'd wave. They would never wave back. When they were supposed to be doing the ayahuasca, we never saw people going in and out. They kept to themselves, and I think they probably wanted to fly under the radar in retrospect.
On social media, Kat's post became more and more disturbing.
You may never heard the Messiah, Messiah, Messiah. Kat Torrey, they're going to heal the world and rule the world in America by your side, in the name of Mother Mary and your Queen Kat Torrey, the Messiah. I'm Jesus Christ. Understand me?
She started threatening people online. 2 years after escaping Kat's control, Anna became a target.
She made a post on her Instagram page threatening me. Then in the comments, she says, your skull will be hanged in a special place in my house, just like the Vikings did with those who betrayed them. You will pay with your life for the betrayals you did to me. And I just got really scared. Like, I had panic attack because at that time she was posting things with guns in her story. She has this full rage against me, saying that I have a short period of life left, so she gave me a panic attack when I read that post. At that point, I saw that she was involved in prostituting girls. I was like, perhaps with this more evidence of her threatening to kill me and her involvement in prostituting other women, maybe the police is going to do something about it. So I did an online report to the FBI and started to work with other people to try to arrest Kat.
Both Anna and Sol went to the U.S. police. In Brazil, after losing contact with them, the families of the women left in the house reported them as missing. They started a media campaign to find them.
Polícia de imigração teria sido acionada em caso de
It became a major news story across Brasil.
Eu tô gravando esse vídeo para ordenar que vocês parem de me perseguir. Parem de me procurar.
Then suddenly these videos are posted. They are of Desiree and the other Brazilian woman, both now with dyed blonde hair. They look eerily like Kat. They tell their families and the world they're okay and to stop looking for them. But the police are worried and manage to track Kat down. An officer calls Kat while she and the other women are on the road. He asks Desiree, is she liking America?
Very nice.
Did everybody train you kindly?
Yes.
And are you well?
Yes.
You're doing well?
Yes.
Safe and sound? You look like you're doing well. I don't see what the issue is.
Kat then jumps in.
And again, they came here on their own. They didn't come here for me. They are helping me out, yeah. But I just don't want anything bad to happen to them.
What Kat doesn't know is that she's being recorded. And on tape, you can hear her threatening the women in Portuguese.
Gente, eles são muito truqueiro. Ele é detetive. Muito cuidado.
He will start asking questions. Guys, they are full of tricks. He's a detective. Be very careful. For God's sake, I'll kick you out if you say anything. I'll scream.
In late 2022, the US authorities finally convinced Kat and the other two women to come into a police station, telling them they wanted to make sure they were okay. Detective David Duvall was the officer who first spoke to them.
When they came in, what was kind of concerning was the girls' behavior. They were definitely very closed off, and that is fairly common with human trafficking survivors. They have a severe distrust for law enforcement, usually ingrained by the trafficker. And then while talking with Kat, some of the things she was telling me was concerning for sure. She really didn't give a model of what her business was for or how it worked. It just said that the girls worked with her and she was a life coach for other girls. And, you know, there's also another immediate red flag where this is what she does. She takes these young women under her wing.
Kat was arrested, deported to Brazil, and charged with human trafficking and slavery offences.
Like, after all these months, we're going to go in and see Kat for the first time. Like, doesn't feel real.
We were granted a rare court order, allowing us to interview her in prison while she was awaiting the outcome of her trial.
I am 1 year and a half in jail, in real jail, with real people that committed real crimes. We're talking about people that killed like 10 people, 15 people. When I was seeing the people testifying, they were saying so many lies that at one point I couldn't stop laughing.
Why is the judge keeping you in prison if you
because
don't deserve to be here?
Because the people are saying that I am a problem outside, that I can take the minds of the people and change them. People are saying I am a fake guru, but at the same time, they're also saying that I'm so real and so dangerous that I can take his mind or whoever mind and change his mind. So the reason why I'm arrested and I'm in jail is because they're saying that I can change people's mind with her words.
Can you?
Can I? You tell me, can I? I hope I can.
We push her. You have no professional qualifications.
I never said one lie on the internet. And I always told them, if you come, come ready and prepared because I'll take you out of your box, out of your comfort zone. And there is no comeback. There is no money back. There is no comeback. This was one thing I always said. And I always said that I hated people who had the diplomas on the walls. That wasn't me, definitely not me. I said I left school when I was 15, and my work was my work. I had 14,000 clients. I didn't give any mental health advice, never, never. I told them I am a holistic therapist, which takes care of your energy. There is nothing to do with your mind, there is nothing to do. With the mind that I had to do was hypnotizing. That was all. I always said, the hypnotizing would change around you, around yourself, the energy around yourself.
How does it make you feel when you're hearing that former clients are traumatized? Like, do you have any emotional reaction?
I have to say they are absolutely ridiculous and that they need to run back to their parents.
Did you believe in the advice you were giving these women?
Oh, yeah. I believe 1,000%. I will look in their eyes and I will go to sleep and I will wake up in the morning thinking about the advice I give to them. In jail still, I think about the advice I give to them. I never, ever was wrong. Ever. I don't regret one single word I said. I don't regret.
Okay. So throughout this interview, we've kind of put very serious allegations to you. Human trafficking, sexual exploitation, modern slavery. And in response, you've said you were proud of your advice. You've laughed. You've said they're ridiculous, they're liars. Do you take any accountability for any of these allegations?
Absolutely not. Zero.
And do you think you deserve to face any punishment or justice?
Absolutely not. What I want and I need is justice. What I want to do with my lawyer is justice. I don't deserve to be here. I didn't deserve to be here, not even one day in my life.
On the 28th of June, a Brazilian judge sentenced Kat to 8 years in prison for subjecting Desiree to human trafficking and slavery. He concluded Kat lured her to the US for the purpose of sexual exploitation. Kat's lawyer told the BBC she has appealed her conviction and maintains her innocence. Brazilian police are continuing their investigation into the cases of the other women. Anna hopes sharing her story will help others.
I feel better because I know she's in jail. And my hopes is that the more I talk about it and more victims are going to come out and, you know, tell their stories, go to the police, go to the authorities so people see that this is a really criminal and serious case. It's not just some Instagram drama as some people might have thought.
Sol has become homeless again and is living in a tent. Friends have set up an online fundraising page in the hope of getting her off the streets for good. And she is studying to become a law enforcement officer so she can protect other women.
Every time I try to do something different with my life, life brings me back to this career. So I'm like, okay, so this is what I have to do. All my experience is screaming at me. This is what you have to do. Happens with you, you want to avoid that happens with anyone. It's like advocate, talk with people, be very clear about what you, even in your worst, you don't have to give in to those things. Anything that helps any women towards of education and resource has to be spread because we are very vulnerable.
You've been listening to Instagram's Fake Guru on the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Hannah Price. It was produced by Rob Wilson, Jack Garland and Joelle Fellett. The editors were Vara Shaikovsky and Rebecca Henschke, and it was mixed by Hal Haynes.
A $6 billion con.
It didn't take long for it to spread like wildfire.
You got to take a look at this really crazy gold stock. A buddy of mine got in at a dime.
Which destroyed lives and devastated communities.
Every little town across the nation, people have shares in this.
We lost everything.
And to date, no one has been brought to justice.
Somebody knows more than we know.
The $6 billion gold scam from the BBC World Service and CBC. All episodes are available now. Find it wherever you get your podcasts.